We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Depeche Mode already this morning. Wow. Bringing up the valid question, how low did they have to make the volleyball net for Tom Cruise to be able to spike it?
He is short. Oh, my goodness.
4'2", right?
Yeah, I think I don't know that he's much taller than that.
And I was tweeting a little bit about Top Gun last night. We had our daughter watch it for the first time.
I saw that. Why wasn't your son watching?
He had already seen it.
Oh, he did? Okay,
yeah,
he was
watching the NBA playoffs.
Okay. Good man. I was, too.
Yeah, he's like, I already seen this. I don't have to watch this.
Haven't you already seen the NBA playoffs, though?
Yeah, or a blowout.
Yeah.
But, and then somebody tweeted me last night. They're like, can you explain to me why Goose was always setting up Maverick for spikes? They're like, everybody knows Tom Cruise is like 5'5", 5'6".
Wait, like, I don't even know if he's that tall,
probably not.
Josh. I don't even know if he's that tall. But he's the star of the show. You got to
right.
make him look
I said,
good, right?
Come on now. He's the pilot. He's, you know. He's a quick twitch athlete, too. You know,
what a great song that is, though,
too. He can do it all.
Anytime you get some Kenny Loggins, you're good, right?
Kenny Loggins was seemingly the soundtrack to every movie in the 80s,
yeah,
was
absolutely.
He not? I mean, like, and every freaking movie of the 80s, he was the soundtrack,
as we've chronicled on the show, he's drastically underpaid. His net worth is only, like, $16 million.
Yep.
It's a travesty.
Mm-hmm.
Another friend of mine texted me. They, too, were watching the old Top Gun before everybody goes to the theater. If they haven't gone, they didn't go yesterday. And he's like, does Kenny still get a residual when I'm watching this?
Probably.
And I said, at this point, you probably have to cut a singular check to Kenny Loggins. Like, if you specifically watch Top Gun, you should scratch out some kind of donation check.
Absolutely.
To Kenny and send it directly.
What do you think he gets every time somebody watches a movie?
Well, not
like
enough.
That.
If
no.
it's six, if he's only got $16 million of net worth.
I know. He really got screwed in this whole thing because, like, Kenny Loggins has got some really good songs like that. Again, they tell the story of a generation. You hear Kenny Loggins, it immediately takes you back to any movie in the 80s, even if he wasn't in that movie, right? And you think about Kenny Loggins, but some of these residual checks are very, very small. I was telling the story the other day about the former Met player Art Shamsky, who was on Everybody Loves Raymond. He goes, I got like a 1 cent check in the mail. Like,
and
at
it
that
just
point,
come randomly.
Yeah.
You never knew when it was going to show up.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when we had Kenny Banya in studio, we're like, can you say it's gold, Jerry? It's gold. And that was after we had the experience with the Dino Mike guy who's now schlepping reverse mortgages on TV.
You got to pay him to say Dino Mike.
Right, he wouldn't say it. And Kenny Bandy's like, yeah, every day I go down to the mailbox, there's another check in there, so sure, I'll say it. It's gold, Jerry, gold. And that was like the first time I'm like, okay, so you're cool with that, because some of these guys do this stuff and they get mad that they're, you know, they're typecast as that. But, you know, if you're Kenny Loggins, man, you got to give me cash and more checks than just $16 million worth. I think that sucks. I think,
yeah, it's like
he got screwed on the deal, right?
Yeah, I don't
right?
understand that.
Like getting pennies on the dollar here. It's just bad.
Yeah, I don't understand. He's got to get more out of these movies.
Here's a question I don't know the answer to, and B-Dub, you may know this more than I do. Josh, hell, you may know this, or the text line. When they play a song at the stadium, do you get residuals for that? Like when they play I Love L.A. after a Dodgers win at Dodger Stadium, does Randy Newman get a check?
I don't know how that contractually works. He should. I mean,
you're playing that song, right?
And
because that's why they
audience.
Wouldn't play Rock and Roll Number 2 anymore, because they were afraid to give Gary Glitter a check at Arrowhead, right?
Yeah.
So you do get a check every time a song is played. Do the Beatles get a check? Like, do the Royals have to scratch a check to the Beatles after they play that Kansas City song?
Contractually, I don't know how those work. But yes, under the...
Or is it like Winnie the Pooh now, where it's in the public domain?
Under the grand umbrella, I believe that yes. There are musical rules where they should be getting a cut of something.
Yeah,
yes.
I think so.
I know, like in wrestling, when Hulk Hogan was bad, he used Jimi Hendrix music.
Yeah.
And during the pay-per-views, he could actually use it. But when it went to video and everything else, they put a different song in there because they didn't want to have to continue to pay
right.
the $20,000 every time that they used that song, because he was Jimi Hendrix's estate was getting some crazy amount of money
from
Turner
Broadcasting.
Yeah, not from Hogan. Hogan wasn't paying it, but
yeah.
Turner Broadcasting was paying for it. Every time they played it, it was like a $25,000 check.
This would be a great time, because if you're answering the question, we have to tell you, the text line number has changed.
Oh, changed. That is right. Very good. Yes.
It is one number off, which totally sucks.
Stupid.
Like, we have no control over this. But the text line and the phone number have now changed.
Is this a Steven Sphincter deal? Did he do this?
I don't think this was. I think this was above him.
Oh, he saw all the hate texts?
No one's for sure. But you reset this so you can text Steven Sphincter.
Right.
But we have a new phone number now for the text line, unfortunately. It is one number off, which is very confusing. But it is 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610.
So the first person to text us on the new text line today wins a prize. And that prize is going to be nothing.
And then program that into your phone, because it's one number off from our old one for some unknown reason that no one can tell us.
Yeah, nobody knows. This is one of those deals where they do the scarecrow and Wizard of Oz where they point different directions.
We got a new phone system.
Are people calling in?
Yeah,
now
people are calling
too?
In.
Wow,
to try it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We've got a new phone system. We barely know how to run it. And it has a new phone number. So, yeah.
And it's one number off.
Correct.
One number. They changed this whole thing for one number. Hello. Yes. Who is this? Ah, there we go.
That's us. You got the number.
When was Banya on the show? About 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't remember, he was
in town at a comedy club or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It may be before the Royals won the world championship. I mean, it may have been like, you know, in the days of the 2012 Chiefs or something. I mean, it was a long, long time ago when Banya was in. So it was we're talking a long time ago. So he'd come in again, though. He was great.
He was terrific. He was one of the more enjoyable comedians we'd ever have had on.
Yeah, no doubt
about
it.
Just a regular, kind of a regular dude.
Right. And you know, since Stanford's really doesn't exist anymore like it did back in the day, rest in peace, Craig Glazer, you don't get the big names that roll through town anymore like we used to do. I mean, this used to be a hotbed, too, for comedians. I mean, I can't tell you, you know, how many guys I sat at Bobby Baker's with back in the early 2000s, Bob Saget being one of them, Dave Attell being another, that you just sat there and had cocktails with because, you know, Ron, who ran the place at the time, was friends with us. We all used to go to Bobby's, and he knew nobody would bother the guys down there. So, I mean, it was a who's who all the time of comedians in this town. And I don't know that necessarily exists anymore. And obviously, since the monkeypox or whatever we're dealing with right now, is that the new one that's out there right now? The monkeypox, I think people are running from now.
I saw a story on that.
Since the viruses have started, the comedy clubs aren't like what they used to be. I miss those days of the comedians coming in.
Someone does text in and says, as long as you play a certain time frame, that might be true too. If you only play less than 30 seconds or whatever,
right?
You might have to pay. There's something to that too.
Enterprise type thing that, you know, you get 20 seconds. So,
and that's why WKRP in Cincinnati never really came out on DVD. They did the first season, but they had to change like all of the music on the show if they wanted to release that and sell it on DVD and VHS or whatever the case may be, because there was so much licensing because of Dr. Johnny Fever playing, you know, all of the music and whatnot. So that's why that one never came out. So yeah, there are some weird rules with,
but whatever that. It was, Kenny got screwed. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, he did.
Kenny
Loggins
screwed.
Yeah, he did. He is absolutely done for. $16 million does not seem like a lot.
No.
That's like one game for Tyreek Hill in Miami.
Cause now every time I look up someone's net worth or a musician or whatever, I compare it to Kenny.
You base it on Kenny.
I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's done. This particular person's done nothing.
Yeah.
And they're two Kennys. Like, come on. Like, Kenny had a terrible agent.
Yes.
Or Messina got all of it. I don't know.
Mike Messina?
Yeah. His partner for a long time was Mike Messina.
I remember that. Yeah. They sang In Pooh's Corner, which comes full circle now that Winnie the Pooh is in public domain killing people.
So we text in, and a generic message says, we did not understand your message. Fix this, Sphincter. Yeah, he's on that. We've actually told him that.
It says,
we did not understand your message. This is the bounce back message. Right. We do understand your message.
We got you. We understand.
But somebody hasn't fixed the outgoing one yet.
Well,
so
we've asked them to
progress.
Fix the outgoing one. There's one person in this building who calls us KCSP. She must have programmed the text line.
I think so. And did we have the closed captioning on for Top Gun? Absolutely. Yeah. We have the closed captionings on our television all the time.
Do you? Yeah. You do that, huh? Yeah. Why? Because you can't hear?
Can't get away from it.
Why? Like, explain that one to me.
When the twins were born, my wife would watch TV late at night and didn't want the volume on very loud. And so she read the screen. And now everybody's addicted. Can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a game, I have the closed captioning on.
Do you ever have the closed captioning on for a game? Because that's always fun to try to figure out what's going on.
There was only that one Royals game that one time where all the words were screwed up. I remember there was,
that was
a number of years ago now where it was a really bad closed captioning night and they were messing with all the words. And
I think that night the closed captioning like accused the moon of being a planet.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Yeah. Maybe that was it. But no, closed captioning is always on at our house. So yes. Also, Ray Liotta dying yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
Kind of was a damper.
It was, man. I got a text from a buddy of mine yesterday. Ray Liotta died. I'm like, no way. Ray Liotta died. Now, I knew he had like the smoking issue because he did those Chantix commercials. But it wasn't. He just died in his sleep shooting a movie down in the Dominican, I think they said, yesterday. And, you know, I was thinking about Ray Liotta, and I was kind of looking back on everything that he's done. Is he more well-known for Goodfellas or for Field of Dreams? I mean, those are two major roles, you know, that Ray Liotta had in the course of his career. And I think probably the two biggest roles that Ray Liotta had over the course of his career, like he was in a lot of stuff, you know, you looked around a lot of gangster type stuff. But when you look at Goodfellas and you look at Field of Dreams, that to me is what Ray Liotta will always be known for. But what do you think he's more known for?
Goodfellas? I think Goodfellas because he was a star.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he was. Shoeless
Joe wasn't in the whole movie.
No, but he was a big part of that movie, right?
Yep, big part of the big scene, mm-hmm. You know. But I think just because the entire movie, you knew him from Goodfellas.
Yeah, probably.
His last movie that he was shooting looks very intriguing as well. The last movie is called Cocaine Bear. Ooh. I don't know if you saw this one. It's based on a true story. After a failed drug smuggling operation, a black bear ingests a large amount of cocaine and goes on a drug fueled rampage.
Oh no.
That's the last movie he was working on.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I actually am looking forward to this Cocaine Bear.
Like to see this bear,
I need to know more.
Yeah.
So
my parents have a lot of bear walking around their yard now because, again, we continue to cut down trees to build strip malls. So, you know, like, I don't understand why we need another strip mall anywhere in this country at all or an apartment complex. But we continue to build strip malls and apartment complexes. And you know what happens? You're cutting down the habitats for the animals. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday about the deer. There's the deer population right now in this town alone. It's sad because they have nowhere to go. These things are in my backyard. They're standing behind my car in the morning. We continue to cut down trees and these animals have nowhere to go. And then you got bear that are running loose all over the place.
Ingesting cocaine
because we need to build another strip mall for another cash for gold place and put up another apartment complex that we don't need. We have got to stop killing our environment. There, soapbox done.
So all Top Gun today, all Ray Liotta today.
Mm-hmm.
Deal?
All day long, baby.
Lots of
Give the text line number out again. They cycle on and cycle off.
Yes, 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610. It has changed. It's one number off. It stinks. Don't blame us.
No, Spinter's fault.
Shady McCoy, meanwhile, my favorite player.
He says with a grin.
Decides to go all scorched earth on one Eric Bieniemy. We need to get to that next.
The home for Legend Bob.
Legend Bob, he's an expert on rubbing balls.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. Your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
In on a Friday, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Kligler. Brian Williams, B-Dub, our producer / musical director.
More Kenny Loggins.
913-586-7610. The number has been changed for your inconvenience.
That's right.
913-586-7610.
For your inconvenience, he subtly says, which is just, that's why Josh is the best at what he does, because that line right there encapsulates what makes him the best broadcaster I've ever been around. 586-7610. Change for your inconvenience.
Well, it is. It's stupid.
It is. Oh, it it's is. Dumb.
It is. That's the first question I asked. I'm like, is this a prank? Get this email. Is this a prank? We change the number by one?
One number. I tweeted out yesterday, and we're going to talk about it later in the show, things you want back from Kansas City, like the old days of Kansas City, right? Things you want back. And I'm going through some of the ones that I got this morning, and one comes from Dana Wright of her sister station, KMBZ, and she says, I want the actual text line number back.
When they had when we used to have the 5-digit short code?
No, they must have changed KMBZ's number by one number as well.
No,
it's probably 5867980 or whatever their number is, right?
Yeah.
So they've
all changed by one. I don't know.
Everybody has changed by one number.
I'm guessing we switched company.
I don't know. It's the same message board, though, here that we're looking at.
That part is. That one you just program yourself. But whatever it has to do with our new phones.
Right.
Something didn't went haywire and we got close.
And that is our phone number as well, right? Like 913-586-7610. Are we running like announcements on the radio to let people know?
I thought we were going to, but I don't know. I have not heard of them yet.
Yeah, I've not heard one.
I was told that was the case.
Yeah, so 586-7610. Try it out now. Punch in the new number. Let it be known. Shout it from the mountaintops.
Now Bob and I are on a mission to be able to change the message you get back when you text us.
Right. I don't like the message that goes back to you guys.
I'm trying to change it, but I don't know how to do it yet.
We don't know how to do that. We asked the help desk, and they had no answers.
They asked us if we rebooted or not.
Yes, that's it. So have you tried rebooting yet? No, we're not rebooting.
No, not rebooting it at this point in time. Well, guess who decided to like pop his head up?
Yeah, LeSean McCoy.
My favorite ring chasing bandwagon NFL player.
You like this guy a lot,
don't
you?
Love Shady McCoy.
He's your guy.
I love that the fact that for the rest of his life he'll be known as two-time Super Bowl champion LeSean McCoy.
No, you phrased that wrong, Josh. It's two-time coattail chaser LeSean McCoy.
Well, that's how I would do it, but everybody else will be it's two-time Super Bowl champion LeSean McCoy. Because at the very end of his career, he latched onto two teams that were good, and they carried him to a couple of titles. Really nice career on his own, but he's always going to be now two-time Super Bowl champion.
People say he's like a Hall of Famer, LeSean McCoy. Like, people think he is going to go into the Hall of Fame.
Okay, then he'll be Hall of Fame and two-time Super Bowl. You know what I mean? It's like, ugh. You barely did anything for either one of these teams,
right? And when I look at LeSean McCoy, he goes back to conversations we've had for years. Hall of Famer or not? And I go, I don't know. Then you look at the guy's numbers.
He
was really good.
No, he was really good. He wasn't really good, but he was really good.
Yeah. Buffalo was really was good. Philly had some nice years.
Buffalo's really good. So he hops on the I Am Athlete podcast yesterday, and for some reason stumbles into a rant about Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, but does it with 1 minute to go in the show and kind of cowardly goes into
this. They were like,
this.
What? But he says he left Kansas City because of EB.
And the reason why I finished is because me and the coordinator, we had a difference about different things, right? And I'm going to say this. It's the reason why every year they keep hyping him up to get a coaching job, a head coach or office coordinator job for somewhere else, and you don't get one because
he's talking about Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, and the players.
You bring this up now when we got a minute to show
the truth. Listen, because some players, right, he talks to them a certain way, and some players would take it. I wouldn't take it. Like, whoa, you know, and some question I would ask, everybody's accountable.
Yeah.
That's why it's not because he's a black coach. That's not the reason. The reason that because he, I won't get into that, but I'll say this.
Coward. You can't say the reason.
But it's the reason why that every year they hype him up to get a job. And then when the time comes, nobody hires him because they know what type of coach he really is.
So you're saying Eric Bieniemy was the reason why you stopped playing in Kansas City?
Yeah, come on, man. That's players. They knew what it was.
One, it's a podcast. You don't have to.
There's no
long
time
you want.
Limit. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes.
Well, maybe all of you decided you were going to go somewhere else and you had something else to do in the day and you were going to keep going, but you don't have to stop because it's a podcast. That's the beauty of podcasts and also the evil of podcasts is you just keep rambling for as long as you want.
Mm-hmm.
No pacing is what I'm saying.
No pacing. There is none.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Two, Eric Bieniemy coaches hard. He's always acknowledged that.
Yes.
He's the hard ass.
Yep. Always has been.
Always has
been. He's always been the devil to Andy Reid's angel type of thing. You
right?
know, the yin and the yang.
He's going to tell you how it is.
Yeah, he's never minced words.
And also, LeSean McCoy stunk.
He was fumbling. The guy cost us at least that. What was the one game that he cost us? Definitely Minnesota, where he put the ball on the ground. There was one game that year.
Never got back into it.
I mean, yeah. He may have cost us the Colts game, too, that year, if I'm not mistaken. That Sunday night game against the Indianapolis Colts.
The tail end of his career. Probably didn't like how he was being used.
Right.
Right. Had been used to being the feature guy and all those things. And it was probably got some harsh realities at the end.
Well, all athletes do when they reach the end of their career, right? I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is one guy we were talking about this week that's dealing with the harsh reality of you're done, man, and nobody wants you. But LeSean McCoy is a coward, because if you're going to get on there and say things about him and then say, well, I don't want to get into it. To me, when I hear somebody say stuff like that, that tells me you're making things up and you don't have concrete evidence. Like you started down a path and then you realize, I really got no evidence to back this up. Now I'm going to try to reverse and get out of this thing. Because at this point in time, coward McCoy, if you've got something to say about Eric Bieniemy and you've got information and you've got examples and you have concrete stuff.
Clearly you have a forum.
I'll give him a forum right now. If Coward McCoy wants to call in, it's 913-586-7610.
Oh, darn, because he had the old number.
Yeah, he did. He had the old number.
He's been trying, I'm sure.
So tell the coward he can call in anytime he wants at 913-586-7610. And bring some real concrete evidence to what you say. You are on a podcast. There's no time limit. If you're going to go out there and legitimately slander Eric Bieniemy on a podcast, have information that backs it up. Or if you start giving the information, people are probably just going to realize you are just an over-the-hill, antiquated athlete that fumbled the football that couldn't be relied upon.
Yeah. Eric Bieniemy coaches hard. I think that's fact.
Yes.
His gruffness may... It's been kind of rumored as maybe one of the reasons.
Maybe he's not getting a job.
Turn some teams off.
Yeah.
Some teams could probably use it.
Probably.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. But he's not a warm, fuzzy fellow. You know, he's just not. That's not who he is. Neither am I. That's not who I am. Right. but to sit there and to say that kind of stuff by LeSean McCoy and then not get. I don't want to get it.
This is the reason he doesn't get a job. You could say it's the reason I didn't want to play anymore because he coached me really hard and I wasn't in for it at that point in my career, whatever. Right. But to say this is why he's not getting a job in the NFL. Okay, explain more.
You need to
explain because everybody wants to know the explanations as to why.
And Josh, I'll say this to you too: you didn't leave Kansas City; they showed your ass the door, pal.
Yeah,
Let's not act like it was your choice.
Andy Reid yesterday after OTA workouts, amongst things, was asked about LeSean McCoy's comments on EB.
And sometimes it's hard on a veteran player that maybe their level, performance level, isn't what it used to be, and it's hard to take sometimes. But he's going to push you and try to maximize what you've got. That's one of his strengths. He's no different than he is with you guys. He's going to come in and shoot you straight. Sometimes you want to hear it, sometimes you don't. And, I'm a big LeSean fan. He's, in my eyes, he's a future Hall of Fame running back. If you look at statistically, he was tremendous, so... but he wasn't the youngest pup, in the kennel here, man. He was on backside, and sometimes that's hard to take.
Way to go, Andy.
Way to go,
way
Andy.
To say it so nice and like, he wasn't very good.
Right.
And then we didn't trust him. We didn't want to use him anymore. That's why LeSean McCoy's not here.
He was old and he fumbled and he cost us games. That's why LeSean McCoy is here. It wasn't his choice to leave. Let's not get LeSean McCoy telling everybody that he chose to leave Kansas City. He had a 1-year contract. It was up. There was no interest in bringing him back because he just wasn't any good.
Very, very simple.
Yeah. Now, love Andy Reid out there, just absolutely taking a flyer.
Saying just so nicely.
Well, he's not the youngest
of a career.
He was slow, and he's a fumbler.
Yeah, it didn't work here. That's all.
Yeah. So
not going to work anymore.
So sit there. Not going to work anymore. So sit there, LeSean, and make things up about Eric Bieniemy. Make things up about your departure here in Kansas City, and then claim you're running out of time on a podcast, which are limitless times, and not give real reasons. Had he detailed legit reasons and gave examples, I'd have listened to it. But that's a bunch of hogwash right there. That's like gossip on the street.
One nice win aside from last night, we've discussed a lot of futuristic Royals ideas this week. We put them all together next.
This is Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967, on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
The new Top Gun is now out, Maverick. We'll get a full report from Carrington Harrison. That's right, of all people, CDOT.
CDOT saw it already.
Saw it already.
Yeah.
He's going to join us coming up at 7:45. That's correct.
You think he knows the new number to call in at 913-586-7610, which is also the text line
we'll
number?
We'll probably have to call him. That's fine.
I'm amazed CDOT's going to be up that early.
Well, he's jazzed because he saw Top Gun last night.
That's why he got off the air a little early yesterday, too, with the Royals playing, you know, earlier than normal.
Also, coming up on June the 10th, it's 610 Day. And so we'll celebrate 610 Day by giving you a bunch of stuff. Giveaways throughout the day on 610 Sports Radio. We have a bunch of pairs of Diamond Club tickets to give away. We have a bunch of autographed Chiefs items to give away. And there's just, essentially, we're going to give something away every hour on the show. But also, it's we're mixing it up. Different hosts, different producers, different time slots. We're going to have a draft on the 7th at 10 a.m., part of Cody and Gold. We'll find out who we're working with. We're going to be working at a different day part with different people.
I'm excited to work with Scott Parks for the first time in a long time.
We're
going to
mix it up. 6:10, people. We're going to mix it up, and Bob and I will get away from each other for a day. But it's always fun. Well, actually, we wanted it back. I don't know if you guys did or not, but we did.
We thought it was, we liked it.
We had fun doing it. So we're mixing it up on 610 Day, Friday, June the 10th. But you have a bunch of opportunities to win stuff as well throughout the day on the 10th of June. Memorial Day coming up. 913-586-7610. We've had to change the text line number and the phone number. It's the same, though. 913-586-7610. So remember that now on your phone. What's your perfect Memorial Day spread?
Yeah, because everybody's going to be grilling out this weekend, right? That's what you do for Memorial Day. You're going to be grilling those fake hot dogs that are carrots.
I wasn't planning to. But,
oh, you weren't? But you got the flat top.
Yeah, true. I just hadn't gotten there yet.
Hadn't gotten there yet. You got to use the flat top. So if you're going to put your perfect Memorial Day spread together, you got burgers and dogs?
It's just burgers. It's like, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, I think Memorial Day is one of those.
Burgers,
now, B-Dub is probably going to go through
dogs,
a smoked pork butt or something.
Maybe a little potato salad. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff.
Right, B-Dub, you got some big kind of spread planned over there. You've been smoking meat for the last 16 days getting ready for the holiday.
It'd be a great time to do some ribs, some burn-ins, some pulled pork, some chicken thighs.
So basically any kind of meat that's available you're throwing on the smoker for Memorial Day weekend. See, I'm with you, Josh. I just want to keep it simple, bro. Give me hot dogs. Give me hamburgers. And not those bar-ass hot dogs. Give me good hot dogs, right? Like, I want a good hot dog.
Nathan's time. Yeah.
It's Nathan's or Kirkland time,
baby. It's bringing out the big dogs.
Yeah, you're not doing the 89 cent bar S's. Never care. But the kids eat those. You make the bar S for the kids because they'll eat anything. Yeah. There you go. Okay. And so they'll enjoy that. So you get the hot dogs, good quality hot dogs, sauerkraut, brown mustard. Give me some macaroni salad. I don't know why, like, lately, not like when the last couple of years, I've been like craving macaroni salad. I don't want like the potato salad or stuff like. I want the macaroni salad. Give me that. Give me a little coleslaw. Give me various chips, and that's kind of all I really need. Some
various
water.
Chips.
Yeah.
Various.
I don't know what kind of like
the barbecue guys.
Some barbecue
sour cream and onion,
cheddar, and you know sour cream.
So they could tend to buy the variety pack, the big variety pack of little bags of chips.
Correct.
For you.
Yeah.
Just put them in a bowl.
Let me ask you guys this: I saw a mini bag of chips, not like a tiny bag, but like the next size up bag of Funyuns the other day at the grocery store, $2.09. Yeah. What the hell happened to the price of chips? A small bag of Funyuns for $2.09. It wasn't even one of those big grabs or anything like that. I'm like, Funyuns $2.09? Keep them.
And it's mostly air.
Right. That's what you're paying for.
That's all you're paying for.
I know when I was in second grade, I wrote a letter to the Lance Potato Chip Company because I said I'm paying for air, and they sent me a nice gift pack. It was good.
Keep buying your air.
That was the start of it. And then I wrote to every beer company in college, and I got free beer, so it was perfect.
So 913-586-7610, the new text line number. You can weigh in on your Memorial Day spread. I like this as well. Someone says, I put Kenny Loggins on loop on Apple Music when I'm not actually listening to anything just to help him out.
Ah,
that's good.
Go.
I like that. I like that.
That's good for help you, out man. Kenny. Help out Kenny. Help out a guy, yeah.
Huge part of that Top Gun soundtrack.
Oh, the Ton of Rocks arrived yesterday in the driveway, by
oh,
the way.
Really?
Finally arrived. They straight from Colorado. They had to go to Colorado to get the Colorado River rock, and so they finally arrived yesterday.
So did you just park in the street? And
I was already in the garage. Jen put out the tarp where they were going to drop the rock. Do you know a Ton of Rocks is not a lot.
Mm.
It's not what I thought it was going to be. It's like a little pile. I'm like, that's it? That's a ton of
rock. Enough that you have to get it done to get the car out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Which
is
a nice little trick.
Yeah. I got to do
that. That's how the firewood in Dad's driveway happened. Yeah.
Well, the firewood, at least.
They dumped the firewood in the driveway, and guess what? You'd have to go cut it before you could get the car out.
Right.
That was the trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, nice little trick.
I don't mind the firewood. That the rock I'm looking at, I'm like, God, like a shovel? Do I do this with my hands? Like
shovel.
I got to get a shovel.
And wheelbarrow, the whole nine. So,
I told my wife
at
4 o'clock this morning, I said, we'll do this for 2 hours when we get home today. And she goes, please stop talking about this. I go, well, we got to get it done.
Got to get it done.
Got to get it
out of the way.
But it's behind somebody's car, right?
No, she parked behind the rocks. It's like in the middle of the driveway.
So she arrived after the rock.
Yeah,
okay. You guys could... avoid it if you wanted to.
Oh, you could avoid it for the rest of time.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Absolutely. Until the winter, if she wants to get into the garage or something. But right now, no, you don't, you know,
gotcha.
It's fine. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, update on our conversation yesterday as we were leaving, we were going out, we were talking about the mowers, right?
Yeah.
What are they going to do? So, today, as I'm leaving the house at around 4:15, one of the mowers.
No way.
He has the garage door open.
At what time?
4:15. I'm driving down Warnell.
This guy can't wait.
He's got the garage door open. He's got the riding lawnmower just sitting
just
there.
He's got his cup of coffee. Oh, yeah.
All I could see was the silhouette because the light is on in his garage. I'm like, what the hell?
He's waiting until 4:15, sunrise.
He's ready.
He's ready to roll. Yeah.
I mean, the riding lawnmower was right there in the driveway. He's got his cup of coffee.
Too early. Early.
Well, 4:15 is too
way
early.
Way too early.
That's ignorant. I did send you guys the picture yesterday. I caught a guy.
Oh, yes.
Got a guy mowing yesterday at College in Ridgeview.
But that was a commercial mower.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And they got gigs to do.
Yeah, they don't count. Yeah.
It didn't matter how wet it was.
Rain, sleet, or snow.
It was going to, and how sloppy it was, he's just going to just plow through it.
Mm-hmm. Mud everywhere.
Yeah.
913-586 7610 on the text line today. All right. Throughout the week, we brought on various guests to discuss the Royals. We were having a hard time in the midst of a losing streak. Nice win last night, by the way. But boy, wins are hard.
They really are, right?
Last night was a grind. They were doing nothing through eight innings, got three runs in the eighth, and then hung on for dear life in the final two at bats for the Twins.
Yeah.
For the win last night. Those are gut wrenching because this team. It's just not easy to get a W.
But Will Barlow was great last night. I mean, that guy came in with the bases loaded and nobody out and has to get out of that jam. Was it Piamps? Gets three guys on base, nobody out. And all right, Barlow, come on in and figure it out. And so here comes Will Barlow out from the bullpen, two strikeouts and a ground out later. What a great performance by him. I got to tip my cap to that dude, man. Long hair and all. That was a hell of a performance by that guy.
Yeah, he was really good. But we've been discussing the future. And you have advocated if you're really thinking you're not there, you got to build truly for what's ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You got to deal off your tradable commodities. And it's probably not the guys on expiring contracts, but
right.
Maybe it's Salvador Perez.
Salvador Perez. He's your most valuable asset right now. Just like Zach Greinke was your most valuable asset when you built the world championship team a decade ago. Right now, Salvador Perez is in that same boat. He's your most valuable asset. He's a Hall of Fame catcher with controllable years on a decent enough salary. there will be teams that would be interested in Salvador Perez. And if they're not, you got to call them and make them interested in Salvador Perez, right? That's the job of the front office. Sometimes you got to go out there and you got to push a little bit and say, hey, you want to take Salvi? But because that's your most valuable asset. You don't build a world championship baseball team by trading a guy like Andrew Benintendi on an expiring contract in July and hope to get, you know, something great back in return, because you just don't do that. And now Salvi, if you're going to trade him, that's an offseason type of move too, just like the Zach Greinke move was, just like the Will Myers move was. Probably the two hardest moves that Dayton Moore had to make as the general manager of this organization were the two most important moves that he had to make as this organization, trading Zach Greinke and trading Will Myers. Without those two trades, we're not a world championship team, and who knows how the storybook ends up getting written. Now they're faced with another type of situation. If you want to get back and be a contender again,
if you want to be back and be a contender,
you have to make those hard moves. And this hard move that they have to make, the most valuable asset that they have, is Salvador Perez. You're not going to get enough back to win a world championship with, you know, what Merrifield being traded, or Carlos Hernandez, or Carlos Santana being traded, anybody being traded other than Salvador Perez. That's your big trade chip. Or if you've got some minor leaguers, whoever that next Will Myers might be, it may be from a pitching side standpoint, maybe you got to flip that guy. And that's how you move forward as an organization. It's not by getting rid of Andrew Benintendi and getting a player to be named later in cash in return.
I don't like it, but the philosophy is sound. He's your biggest piece.
Yeah.
He's your biggest piece if you truly want to move forward. Jim Duquette of MLB Radio joined us. What could be a haul for Salvi if you were to trade him?
The headliner would be a top prospect, you know, a top 10 prospect in the sport. But you're really looking at, if you're going to an organization, you got to find somebody that's willing to give up. Maybe not the second one would be another maybe lower number eight, number nine type of prospect. And then you're probably getting two others. You're probably getting a haul of four prospects, two that have to be, like, no doubt major leaguers. If you can't get that in a deal, then I don't think you can trade them.
And that's what they got for Zach Greinke. They got the four prospects, right, in return, two no doubt major leaguers, Lorenzo Cain and Alcides Escobar, Jeremy Jeffress, and Jake Odorizzi. Was he the other guy in that trade, right? And you were able to use Odorizzi and package him with Will Myers to get James Shields, to get Wade Davis, to get that second baseman, Elliot Johnson, and you were able to make those two trades, and you were able to win a world championship. That's what it takes to win a world championship. Hard decisions that are going to make you sick to your stomach, but you know at the end of the day, they're best for the organization.
Cody Decker was once in the Royal system, former major leaguer, now our Odyssey Sports MLB insider on Salvi bringing in a haul.
Salvi is, you know, going to have his number retired as a Royal, but, you know, they're going to need to move him because, like you said, he's going to bring in quite a haul.
So he was on board with being able to go ahead and do that. Again, I don't know if they're ever going to get to that stage, but yeah, frankly, if they believe they're 3 to 5 years away rather than 1 to 2 years away,
mm-hmm.
or next year away,
right?
Everything has to be on the table.
And what do you believe? Do you believe it's next year? I mean, based on what we've seen this year from a lot of the...
This year was going to be
a step forward.
And it's not.
And that's what Vern's theme was, a step forward. They're 15-28 right now. That is not a step forward.
And wins are like...
hard.
Very, very difficult.
Very hard. Like last night. Yeah.
Like last night was. John Heyman, another of our MLB insiders, joined us this week as well. And we discussed maybe you also have to think about some of the pitchers in your system, some of the young talent in your system, maybe moving them before they even have that major league success.
Those are Will Myers.
Those are chips as well. And he notes that trading prospects can be difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's unlikely. I mean, you'd have to have pretty good faith in your scouts to be a small market team and trading off prospects in the belief that, well, you know, we have a better prospect. It's hard to predict exactly what prospects will do. There aren't many can't miss prospects, and certainly most teams don't have two can't miss prospects at one position in the minor league. So, that'd be great if they could figure out exactly which ones they should trade, but you know, we don't see small market teams trade off prospects. We really don't. They'd have to have incredible scouting inside their Because you don't want to take a chance of trading off, you know, I'm not going to say the next Mike Trout, but, you know, a good major leaguer, because the value is very high to get a guy who's going to be a good major leaguer the first 6 years. They don't make the money that they can make as a free agent. So it's just not something that small market teams do generally.
So you run the risk there of, again, the FOMO.
Yeah, the fear of missing out. But who have you had FOMO with that since Dayton Moore has taken over as general manager? Who have you had FOMO with that they've traded? I mean, nobody. I mean, people look at like Will Myers every once in a while, but it's been a nice career.
I thought.
But we still won that trade. We won a World Series because
the one dude threw a no-hitter, but
what was his name again?
Sean Manaea.
Yeah, that's right.
Sean Manaea threw a no-hitter.
Everybody you traded for, you know, Johnny Cueto is selling insurance now. Most of the guys that you traded for, Ben Zobrist, other than Sean Manaea, they're coaching Jim. So to me, it's like, just deal these guys. They're prospects, and the good organizations that consistently win trade their prospects. The Yankees, the Cardinals, the Dodgers, teams like that, they trade their prospects for proven major leaguers. And when the Royals did that, and when they traded those guys for proven major leaguers, they won a championship. And when they needed to trade their biggest chip in order to get the pieces necessary to win a championship, they parted with Zach Greinke. That's how you do it. That's kind of the carbon copy around baseball. And I keep saying this for both sides of the parking lot, and the Chiefs were able to trade Tyreek Hill. You got to stop falling in love with the player and just be in love with the uniform and do what's best for the organization. Again, you're not winning with Salvador Perez.
Now that the new Top Gun is out, we know Maverick, what he's been up to. We're also going to catch up with some other 80s icons. We'll get to that next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967.
Who didn't want to be a fighter pilot when you saw Top Gun?
I've said it. I've never seen the movie.
It's incredible.
At this point in time, I don't know that I should see the movie.
You should.
Should I? Everybody's telling me now, the hell with it. You went this long, right? Iron Eagle made me want to be a fighter pilot.
Okay, that works too. Everybody thought you could be that. I'm still amazed they can land a plane on a
moving aircraft carrier.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Well, they do that every day in the military.
I know, it's nuts.
It's crazy, isn't it? You can play a basketball game and land a plane.
That's true. I thought they only used it for playing basketball games.
And I've suggested this to people in baseball, and they roll their eyes at me, which they do with most of my ideas, like, you know, potentially trading Salvi because it's your most valuable trade ship. You got to do something, right? I've said play a baseball game on an aircraft carrier, and people kind of roll their eyes at me at that as well. If you can play a basketball game on there, let's set up a baseball diamond on the aircraft carrier.
Or wiffle ball, at least.
Wiffle ball, right? Could be good, too.
Width, what the width is.
Wouldn't you like to see, like, Ohtani come up and just, you know, park one into the ocean? I mean, I don't know about you. I'd watch.
Yeah, definitely hitting golf balls off the deck.
Oh, do that, too. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Have you ever been on an aircraft carrier?
I have not. Well, no.
If you ever get a chance just like Intrepid in New York, you can get
like
on
that. Like a boat.
Yeah, but not an aircraft carrier.
I don't think an aircraft carrier. Yeah. I don't remember being on the deck of an aircraft
carrier. You ever been in a submarine?
Yes.
How do people do that?
I don't know.
God love you.
Above water, I don't want any part of that.
If you're doing that, like if you're a merchant marine or living on a submarine, whatever it is, man, God love you, because that thing, I mean, if somebody pukes, forget about it.
Yeah, if you're in the military, salute, man.
Yeah, happy Memorial Day. Yeah.
Yes. So we know what, now that the new Top Gun's out, no spoilers because I haven't seen it yet, but
I bet you they fly planes.
There's definitely a lot of plane flying. And, you know, Maverick at the end of Top Gun, no spoilers here, goes back to, takes the assignment, he wants to go back to Top Gun. And now there's a big gap and, you know, it's going to be filled in with this movie, what he's been up to. But just got us thinking.
What he's doing now is tearing me apart.
What are some of the other 80s movie icons up to these days?
Yeah, you got to wonder, right? You got
to
wonder.
So we find out in this movie what Maverick's up to, but we didn't know. What we didn't know, we're going to tell you what has happened to some other 80s movie icons, starting with Marty McFly.
All right. You want me
to go
first?
What's he been up to?
Well, I think Marty McFly has been up to this. Him and Jennifer are still living in Hill Valley. They're now grandparents, right? Marty's been on the town council for 30 years and led the effort to demolish Twin Pines Mall because he realized this is like baseball, too. It's like, you know, got a couple of anchor tenants, but Hickory Farms went, you know, oh, went belly man. Up.
He's controversial now.
So he turned the new Twin Pines Mall into a Lowe's and some luxury apartments, right? Because that's what's happening to most malls now, right? They're Lowe's and luxury apartments. However, this is where it gets really interesting. All the apartments work on that facial recognition technology, just like in Back to the Future Part 2. In fact, Marty actually patented that technology and then sold it to Apple. It's what we're now using for our iPhone. Marty sold it for $50 million and finally has that cash to live the lifestyle he's always wanted. And another
See, I saw Marty taking a different turn.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Marty McFly decided to take one more stint back to the future.
Oh, God. He's still going around with that creeper doc.
One last attempt at headlining a rock and roll band.
Okay.
So Marty takes the DeLorean out on a freshly paved Hill Valley Turnpike. After weaving in and out of traffic trying to get up to that elusive 88 miles an hour, because his car's a little bit older now, McFly's poorly maintained vehicle throws a lug nut, spins out of control, flips multiple times, and sends him forever to the year 2020. Sad.
Oh, God. So, he can't get out of 2020?
Yeah, he got stuck in the pandemic.
Did he get the COVID?
So, yes. He's got it all.
He's
living the entire life. But
that would suck.
The DeLorean now stuck in 2020. I hate to break it to you.
He threw a lug nut and broke the flex capacitor.
Uh-huh,
is what you're saying.
All of it.
And just stuck forever in 2020.
That car's seen better days, man. So that's what we believe Marty McFly is up to.
Okay.
Jake Taylor. From Major League.
Well, Jake Taylor, this is what he's up to now. After retiring from baseball, Taylor went to Mexico for 2 years where he was drunk every day. And not on good stuff. He was drinking like as low-grade tequila as you could possibly get.
Yeah,
right?
A little sketchy at the bottom of the bottle.
Once his money ran out and he mortgaged his pension for more tequila, he got back into baseball as a minor league scout. He drove his 1978 Scamp all over the Southwest looking for talent. Found a few good ball players, mainly guys like Matt Williams, Jim Thome, and David Justice.
That's pretty good haul.
Yeah, they'd go not on bad. To form the core of that 1997 Indians team.
Oh, he's still working for Cleveland.
Of course he is. Yeah. You always go back and work for the team, right? Mm-hmm. Taylor got no bonus for signing any of those players and eventually died in Tucson in the early 2000s from alcohol poisoning.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Wow. That's rough for Jake.
I thought Marty had it rough. I had Jake a little different. After a short stint managing Cleveland.
Yep. Oh, you had him as the manager.
Taylor became disenfranchised with the major league player and decided he'd find his one true love, teaching and coaching.
Oh, yeah?
Jake went on to be the hitting coach for the Buffalo Bison, the Chattanooga Lookouts, the Lansing Lugnuts, the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes, the Macon Whoopee, and the Las Vegas 51s.
Oh, he coached all those teams.
An interim managerial stint with the Boise Hawks, the Bradenton Marauders, the Charlotte Stone Crabs, and the Harvard Yard Goats. Also went on to be the third base coach for the Lynchfield Hillcats, the Dunedin Blue Jays, and the Bakersfield Train Robbers.
Wow.
Also the roving catching instructor in the Arizona Diamondback system, who of course covered the Reno Aces, the Amarillo Sod Poodles, the Visalia Rawhide, the Hillsboro Hops, and the ACL D-backs.
Mm-hmm.
He also went on to be the catching instructor for the NC Dinos of the Korean Baseball League, bench coach for the Cedar Rapids Colonels, the Florence Yalls, the Biloxi Shuckers, and the Somerset Patriots. Back in then as manager with the Lansing Lugnuts, the Birmingham Rumble Ponies, and then the Mexican League Toros de Tijuana.
Nice.
He also had a stint as a director of player development for the Caribbean League, and then one season as a bullpen catcher for the Miami Marlins. Thrice divorced, Taylor's two sons, Jake Jr. and Trey, both had stints as well in baseball. Jake, also as a catcher, made it all the way to AAA Toledo, but now works in finance. Trey spent 3 years in Seattle playing second base.
Oh, my God. You really went down a rabbit hole. You want to see how many different random teams you could just name, right? But that sounds like a baseball life.
Yeah,
right,
a baseball lifer is what Jake Taylor turned out to be.
That is a great baseball lifer.
Was there a yard goat in there and a sod billy or
there
something?
Was. Yeah.
Sod bullies or something like that.
Yep. Harvard yard goats. One of my favorites.
Right.
One of my favorites.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.